Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hello and welcome to Rain and Love Ministries podcast show. This is Tim the Overseer, and I am back on the earth tonight with a good friend, amen, my brother in the ministry and our brother in Christ, Minister Elder Bazaar is back, amen. He's going to finish up his thought. He's going to talk, finish up the discussion that we was having last week with the 70 weeks, amen. And also tonight, I have a question for him. Amen, which we're going to talk about the gathering together, or most know it as the rapture. We're going to talk about that tonight just a little bit, and we're also going to talk about the peace treaty, amen, with the Antichrist, if you don't mind talking about that, amen. We're going to talk about that, and hopefully we'll be able to make this a thing to where, you know, maybe we could do something, you know, maybe – a few times a month or once a month, you know, just whatever the Lord leads us to do. I know he has his platform, his show, and I have my platform. And so we just want to make sure we're respectful of his time. So we thank him for coming on. We're not going to be too much longer with this introduction. So I'm going to go ahead and say a quick word of prayer. And I'm going to introduce the brother and let him come in his own way. And again, brother, I love you, and I thank you so much for coming back.
I love you, brother. I love you.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just love the way you break down this 70 weeks. And so we're going to go ahead and get right on into it. So we're going to go ahead and thank everyone for listening. I just want to express gratitude and thank the Most High for this opportunity. Thank Derek Oliver and the Chaos Team Radio for allowing us this platform to reach as many people as we possibly can in the ministry in these last and evil days. Make sure that we are praying for everyone. There are some people out there that are really going through, so make sure that we are praying for them, and make sure that we are praying for one another, the body of Christ as well. So I just want to say that I love each and every one of you. So if no one has told you that today, let me be the first to tell you that I love you, and I'm glad that you're back for another Daily Bread message and more spiritual food for the soul. Amen, and hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day. And without further ado, let me say a quick prayer. And in fact, I'm going to ask the brother, if he don't mind, I'm going to let him pray tonight. Abe, I think I prayed last week. I'm going to let him say a prayer. And I'm going to let him go in and just go right on into it. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. All right. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name, thanking you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We ask you right now, Lord, use my lips of clay. Use the brother, a lips of clay. Let him hide behind the cross that we can reveal to the saints of God and revealed to the sinner, Jesus Christ is coming back. We are reading from the Word of God. We're going by the Holy Spirit, which you have given us in our hearts to speak. We know the Word of God is true. The Bible says, let God be true and lay the man a liar. We ask you right now, Lord, that you would just bless all those that's out there that's interested, amen, in their soul, in the return of Jesus Christ, in the burial, death, resurrection, in the rapture. And all the biblical doctrines of the Bible that says what would happen just before Jesus Christ comes. Open their eyes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let me be slain, but let me hide behind the cross of Christ. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have. We're going to use it and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Church, say amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
all
brother.
Right,
amen.
All right. Go ahead, brother.
Amen.
Go ahead, then I'll come back on. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. All right. So we're back again at Rain Love Ministries. And again, we have Minister Elder Bazaar on the line with us tonight. And he's going to finish up the 70 weeks. And also, we're going to touch a little bit about the rapture of the church, the gathering together of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we're going to touch on the treaty with the Antichrist. And I have a question for the brother. Amen. About when the church will actually, it's not so much when they're going to be gathered together, but will the Antichrist come on the scene first, or is it possible that the church will be called home first before the Antichrist comes on the scene? I know that that's a huge discussion. And also, one of the main questions that I mainly had was as far as the church and the Antichrist. If the church is called home this instant, will the Antichrist come on the scene immediately? Some seem to think that it's a possibility that the church may be called home, the Antichrist may not come on the scene until a year later. That's some school of thought. So that's just my question for the brother tonight. Amen. But if you want to go ahead and answer that right now, respond to that question now, or if you want to go ahead and jump
on
the coming week and then come back to that, however the way he want to present it. Amen. Go ahead.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, brother, for, amen, giving me this opportunity to be on with you. You on with me. We're
awesome.
Brothers in the Lord. You're saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the
amen.
Spirit, living in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit. We ain't no fanatics. We ain't crazy. We got good sense. And usually when you come from the Word of God and preach it right, people think you done lost your mind. Well, I have. Jesus Christ no longer. Amen. I'm no longer in control of my mind. The Apostle Paul said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. So I have the mind of Christ. And
amen.
You have the mind of Christ. The only way you're going to have it is through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost got to be inside of you. Amen. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost to speak the things of Christ. Amen.
That's right.
So what we're going to talk about, we're going to hit that rapture a little bit because of...
Okay. It's a privilege to have you, brother.
Amen. They get confused on this because they believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. Now, actually... the rapture, the tribulation period, is not for the church, period. I want you to get an understanding. The rapture of the church, God is going to remove the church because the tribulation period is actually for the Jewish people, strictly for the Jewish people. But between the Jewish people and the church, they're not different people, but there's a different time and a different office and a different calling. Israel was called to be the head of the nations. In the Old Testament, was the called church in the wilderness. It was an example of born again believers, a sanctified people that was called out of Egypt to prove to the Gentile world that there's only one true living God. And by the Jews not compelling and accepting Jesus Christ, I don't want to get too fast ahead of myself, but they were cut off, and I ain't gonna say nothing about the cut off because I'm gonna get to that later.
Okay.
I'm gonna go back to the rapture. The rapture is basically God is gonna remove his church, born again believers. Make no difference what nationality you are, what a denomination you come from. And I know denomination is not gonna get you to heaven because I'm a Baptist, that don't mean I'm going to heaven. Because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to heaven because I got a name of a Baptist church, or I go to a Presbyterian church, or I go to a Catholic church. There's some people saved in the Catholic church. There's some people saved in the Baptist church. Some people saved in the Presbyterian church. All Protestant churches have some believers through the time of the seven churches of Asia Minor. God told
Amen.
Them, if you don't repent, I'll remove the candlestick. So there's saved people in every denomination. What? That's following the word of God and preach. Preach the highest doctrine in the Bible. The highest doctrine in the Bible is that Jesus Christ is God Almighty all by himself. There's no other higher doctrine than the Godhead, which means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all are one. They're co-equal. And Jesus Christ even he said, I am the beginning and I am the end. So that means that if he's the beginning, he's the end. He's God Almighty. So that's the highest doctrine. There's no church. If churches are not preaching the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in holiness, and holiness means separated from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. You only can be holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So when Christ comes, the trumpet's going to blow. And the only ones that's going to really understand the blow of the trumpet are the saints of God. If
that's
you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you won't know what's going on. Only the saved will hear the trumpet in a way that will say, come up hither.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ says, come up hither, the disappearing of the church is gone.
That's
gone. Graves will open. Graves will open up, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in air. That's it. You can't do that. The church will be gone. And those that know Christ have an inner experience of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ will automatically, in the twinkling of an eye, disappear. All right? You say, well, brother, give me some evidence that that's going to happen. Well, in the Old Testament, there was a rapture. There was a rapture of Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
Enoch was raptured up. Was he raptured up? He had faith. And the Bible says he walked by faith, and he walked with God, meaning that he was a saved man. Remember, he knew all about the sacrificial offerings before it was given to Israel. He knew all about that because God revealed it to him. He knew about the second coming of Jesus Christ, because if you read in the book of Jude, you'll find that the seventh one from Adam was Enoch. And Enoch was translated, but he left a good witness. He said the Lord himself shall descend come from heaven with angels and 10,000 saints. Now, he saw that way before the church was even born. And here we see Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come with 10,000 saints. Now, why did he say 10,000? 10,000 is a whole numeral Roman number to cover 10. When you say 10, that means all. And the reason why he said 10,000 is because he couldn't give the number of the saints that's going to come back with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he comes back to earth.
Right.
I hope you can understand that and get that. Before he comes back to earth, Enoch saw it about 5,300 years before it happened. So Enoch knew a whole lot of things that God revealed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And by revealing to him, he put some in the Holy Scripture. So when Christ wraps into church, we want to know, where is the church going? The church will be leaving to go to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That's what
the
church is going.
The Bema. Amen.
We're going to Bema seat, and we're going to Bema seat to be judged for our works.
That's right. Amen.
The friends of God will be judged for that. I didn't say sinner. I didn't say hypocrite. I say the saints of God. I'm talking about the weak Christians. I'm talking about the corner Christians. I'm talking about Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ, that's not living powerfully in the Spirit of God, but they believe that Jesus Christ died for them, and they haven't worked up according to maturity. Because I hear so many people say, well, the weak Christian ain't going to heaven. Well, that's a lie, because you're weak. You ain't that strong. I'm not that strong.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you're
brother.
So strong because you're vulnerable to fall by the wayside if you don't keep yourself on guard. So all born-again believers will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and all babies have not come to accountability of knowing what sin is, what touch is, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Because when Christ died, he died for every sin that was committed, even Adam's sin. Adam brought the introduction into the world sin, so that baby carries that Adamic Adam's sin. And since Christ died for Adam's sin, that baby has that Adamic nature and has that fallen race. Christ's blood has what? Taken that away, and when that baby hears the voice of the Son of God, he's going to be taken up, and a lot of people going to be shocked when all the babies will be dissipated from
the earth. Gone.
Be gone.
Amen.
So the rapture of the church means Jesus Christ is coming out to his whole complete church. Infants, adolescents, and the Jewish has even Paul spoke of, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, but now I'm a man, I put away childish things. And the Jews says when you become 12 and 13 years old, you are developing into manhood. So you're responsible for your own sins. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, remember now, you're created in the days of our youth. So it's best to get saved while you're young.
That's right,
Your heart hasn't been acquainted with sin, and sin's hard in your heart. It makes you mean and cruel. So remember, you're created in the days of our youth when you're fresh and you're strong and you got all your faculties working. And so now you can work for the Lord at a young age and work on up into the adulthood. So when you get old, You can be like old David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. I haven't seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. So it's good to receive Christ while you're young.
That's
I received
right.
when
Amen.
I was 9 years old. That don't mean I didn't sin no more. That means that I knew who Christ was. So what I'm saying, the rapture is for the born-again believers, not the
churchgoers.
Right. It's not for the churchgoers. It's not for those that talk with their lips. It's not for those that wear nice clothes and come to church and pay their tithes and read their Bible. It's not for them. It's for those that have repented of their sins.
Amen.
And believe the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for you, suffered for you, hung on the cross for you, put in the grave for you, got up on Sunday morning for you, and went back to heaven for you, because when he comes back, he's coming out the blood-washed church. And the blood-washed church means sin is taken out of you. Your soul, your spirit is sinless when the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. And I don't mean the outer life. I'm talking about the inner life. So Enoch was raptured. And Enoch was the flood came. After Enoch was raptured, the flood came. And when the flood came, God told Noah, he said, look, I'm going to destroy man by water. Noah built an ark. In the Old Testament, that was a typifier of the cross. Because when Noah was raptured up, what you mean raptured up, preacher? Well, he was inside the ark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the water came, what happened? The ark was lifted up above the
water.
Earth.
Amen.
Water.
Right.
And Noah was in the ark. He wasn't hanging. He wasn't clinging. There was no handbars on outside the ark for people to hang on. No, he was inside the ark. So when Christ comes, you got to be in Christ.
That's right.
Paul said the dead in Christ shall rise. So those that died in Christ will get up out of the grave, and we that remain alive shall be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. So Noah was saved by water. Okay, we get to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. We get to Sodom and Gomorrah. We see Lot and his children running what out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah because an angel told them to run for your life, and he told Lot and his daughters, and told Lot and his wife, don't look
back. Amen. That's right.
And people today are looking back. They're putting their hand on the gospel plow, and they're looking back. They have salvation, but they're looking back. And by them looking back, she looked back. And when she looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is turning to a pillar of salt because they're looking back. And when they look back and not to the cross, guess what? The Bible says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth and not shall be saved. Now listen to
this. Right.
Elijah was called up a fiery chariot and taken to heaven. He did not. Here's one thing that Elijah didn't do. He didn't finish his earthly ministry. He got so depressed. He got so outdone with Jezebel. He got so outdone with the false gods and the Baals and the Dagon. And he said, oh, Lord, I'm the only little man prophet here. What you going to do now? And the Lord said, wait a minute, Elijah, I got 7,000 prophets hid in caves that they haven't even bowed their knee to Baal. Now, who do you think you are that you're the only one? And he got so disgusted, he said, Lord, I want to die. So the Lord said, I'm not going to let you die. I'm going to catch you up in the chair. So he was around. And when he was raptured up, he never came back to this earth. But in the last days, God is going to send Elijah back to fulfill his earthly ministry because he didn't fulfill it.
Amen.
And so we got Isaiah. In the year that Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting high. He was caught up to see the throne of God. That's a rapture. Then we got Philip. After the church, or the birth of the church, Philip was called up. And he was called up. God had taken him to heaven, but he called him up and put him in the front of an Ethiopian chariot. And the chariot was going, the Ethiopian was going back to Ethiopia because he was king, he was the keeper of the queen of Sheba. And when he got back there, he was reading. Good God Almighty. He was reading out of the book of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And Philip jumped up in the chair and said, hey, what you read? He said, man, I'm reading something I can't understand. He said something like, the lamb led to the slaughter, like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a dumb lamb, and opened not his mouth. And out of that scripture, Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ, and he preached Christ right there in the chariot, and the man got so happy, repented of his sin, and he said, you need to be baptized. He said, ain't no water around. He said, there's something right there. He went down, whether in the name of Jesus or whether in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, came up out of the water and went on back to Ethiopia, and Ethiopia became the first black Christian church in that time because he was a Gentile, and the Gentiles had not yet come in. So what I'm saying, the rapture is going to happen in the last day in which every born-again believer will be taken out of the planet Earth. And then the next rapture that happened was when Jesus Christ took the disciples up on top of the Mount of Olives, and he told us, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And he said, now, if I go away, I'll come again. And as he was saying that, amen, he'll start ascending up into heaven. And as he started going into heaven, the men of Galilee gazed, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked. And the angel, two men came by. A man said, why you men of Galilee stand here gazing into the heavens? Don't you know the same Jesus that was born in a manger, the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, the same Jesus that was crucified, hung on the cross, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, went to Pontius Pilate, and they told him, said, we don't want Barabbas, give us Jesus. We want to kill him. And they took him and laid him on the cross, nailed him to a piece of timber, lifted him up between heaven and earth. And then when they lifted him up between heaven and earth, hell shook. I mean, hell trembled. Because all the other men that died, whether they were died on the cross, they never did anything. They never got up. They never were persecuted like Jesus. When Jesus was persecuted and he died, hell shook and the devil started trembling. His knees knocked together. He said, whatever this man, because I don't took everybody else and nobody else has done this. And when Christ came back from the grave, Satan knew then and there he was defeated forever.
That's right.
And God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Up on the rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. So,
amen.
So what's going to happen? I'm going to give it to you, brother, and then I can come back and finish that up. But I hope I answered your question. But the church will not go through the tribulation period. The church will not go through the tribulation period, but Israel will go through the tribulation period, and by Israel going through the tribulation period, they will preach the gospel, and the Gentiles and the Jews that was left here after the rapture of the church will hear the gospel preached by the Jewish nation, and it comes to a conclusion that after they get through preaching, John said this, and I'm gonna shut it down. You can have it, brother. He said, I take a number that no man can number. And these are called the tribulation saints, the ones that got saved after the preaching of the Jewish people. Because there won't be no banqueting, there won't be no mega churches, there won't be no church buildings where you can go to church. It'll be what? One-on-one. You will have to have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with your with the Lord and with your friends, because oh my God, they're trying to shut down the churches now. The government is trying to shut down the churches. The prayer, the Pope. The Pope is saying now that it's all right to be gay. It's all right to be lesbian. It's all right to be incest with sin. And he's propagating that. And the world is saying, yes, that's what we want. We love the Pope. And he's lying between his teeth because the scripture says man is not to lay with mankind and women is not to lay with womankind. He said man and woman, female and male. That's the way it is. That's where it's going to be. God bless you, brother. I'll be back.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother, for that message. Amen. Thank you for that word. Amen. Amen. And I guess my second question was mainly do we believe that there will be a time period? Like, will the church, in other words, will the Antichrist actually come on the scene as soon as the church is raptured up, or is that something that was left out as a mystery? Like, will he come on the scene after the church is caught up into heaven or raptured into heaven, or will it be a time period? Some believe that it may be actually a time period. Of course, no one, I hadn't found it yet in the Bible, but I believe that as soon as the church is out of here, shortly after that, I believe that the Antichrist will come on the scene. Amen. So you definitely hit on some good points. Another thing that you hit on that I really like is that the rapture, how you use Enoch and the other prophet, Elijah, amen, if I'm saying it right, because I actually talked about the two prophets the other week, the week before last. I kind of dealt with those two prophets that are going to come back. The Most High is going to send them back to minister, amen, that last 3.5 year period, which I call the Great Tribulation, amen, of the last half of that 7 year period. Some kind of believe that it's going to be Elijah and Moses. Some believe it's going to be Enoch in Elijah. I'm kind of, I guess for me, I'm kind of leaning, and I could be wrong, amen, but I could be wrong. I'm leaning more toward Elijah and Enoch because, as you stated, those two were raptured into heaven. We know those two prophets did not die. They didn't pass away, according to what I understand, according to the word. But Moses, amen, we know in the book of Jude that the archangel Michael and Satan, how Satan disputed, he wanted Moses' body. Amen. So we know that means that Moses has actually passed away. So I believe it may be Enoch and Elijah. Amen. I could be wrong. Amen. And I'll let you share your thoughts. I'll be quiet in a minute and let you share your thoughts. But I just wanted to just talk about that. But we definitely understand that the church age is possibly coming to an end soon. Now, you know, I know we've been preaching, though, sometimes people get comfortable. Some people went back to work. Some people are feeling things are kind of getting back to normal. So people have now, you know, their emotions are back to normal. Amen. Now, I highlight the word, you know, people when they were seeking the Lord, we're grateful for those who have received salvation during this time, because I tell people this is a blessed time to be alive. If you know where to look, amen. You have to know where to look, amen. Because amen. You better get him. You better receive salvation. Because at the way things are looking in the world, amen, it's a possibility. Amen. It's a possibility that, you know, he may come back. Of course, we're not saying that we know when Christ is going to come back, because Christ said himself, nobody knows the day or the hour. And Paul said himself, he said that we must watch. Amen. We must watch. For us as a church, we are to do his will and preach this gospel and preach salvation.
Gospel, brother.
To win as many souls as we possibly can before the return of Christ. Brothers and sisters, do not get weary. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to do his will.
Amen.
Continue to study his word. Continue to show love. Continue to share. Because, amen, we know that the evil principalities are at work behind the scenes, behind the curtain. They're working day and night, amen, while you sleeping, amen. They got their minions and their people working, amen. And like the elder said, you hear it best. You said that the Pope is ushering in this stuff. Amen. He's ushering in this stuff, that it's okay to be this way and that way.
Praise God. All right. Here we go.
Amen. We know that we know that that's not true. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I'll come back. Go ahead.
All right.
Amen.
Enoch was before the nation of Israel came into existence.
Okay. Amen.
You got that? Enoch was not a Jew.
Amen. Okay.
Enoch.
Amen.
Enoch fulfilled his ministry. He walked into heaven.
Amen.
By Enoch was the one that said his last words. He said, my testimony is the Lord will come with 10,000 of his saints. to judge up on the honor of the wickedness. So that was his last testimony. But Israel had not come into existence. Now, the only two prophets that is familiar with Israel and have been around Israel, have preached to Israel, have took them through the wilderness, have stood up for false gods, that was Elijah. He defamed. He detested false gods. He told Jezebel, you're going to die.
Right.
You're going to die, woman. You ain't right. You go around here prostituting these men, and you setting up Baal, and you worshiping these idolatries and entities. You're going to die a cruel death. That was Elijah. He made one of the great prophets of all. The most treacherous woman in the Bible was Jezebel. All the rest of them tried to follow him, got anywhere. All right. Moses was supposed to take the people to the land of flowing with milk and honey, and he was supposed to lead them right into the land flowing with milk and honey all the way up. But Moses disobeyed God by stopping in the wilderness, and the Lord told him to speak to the rock, man. And if you speak to the rock, water will come out.
Amen.
But instead of Moses speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. Not only did he smite it one time, he smote it two times.
Amen.
And by him smoting even one time, the rock represents Christ. So actually, he smote Christ in the Old Testament instead of speaking to Christ. And when you smote Christ, you crucifying it. And when you crucify Christ, most likely you're not going to get a blessing until after you receive it. So when he spoke to the rock, the water was supposed to come out, but he got so angry and detested with the people, he smote the rock, smote it again. And the Lord said, because you called my people rebel, I'm not going to let you enter to the land flowing with milk and honey. So Moses did not finish his ministry. Elijah didn't finish his ministry. All the rest of the prophets that died fulfilled their ministry. God said, now in the last day, in the 11th chapter of Revelation, when the temple's going to be built, and they set up the worship of Judaism back in, they're going to try to bring the animals and the two heifers in and offer and the ashes and sanctify the temple. He said, I'm going to send you two prophets. And these prophets, I ain't going to give you the name, but I'm going to tell you what they've done in the Bible. He said the first one spoke plagues up on Egypt. And the only one that spoke 10 plagues up on Egypt was Moses.
Amen.
Okay? And then Elijah came along and said, now this prophet spoke that it would not rain for 3.5 years. And it did not rain for 3.5 years, and it got so bad.
Amen.
It got so bad that people began to eat their own babies and eat cannibalism. That's how bad it got.
Amen. Right.
And now the people are going back, of course, they ain't going back to it, but they're eating human beings now. In the United States, people are eating human beings. People don't even know it. People are doing witchcraft, voodoo, Halloween night, and taking the little kids out and worshiping evil spirits. That's what that is.
That's
demonic devil, evil spirits. That they'll use that. They won't take them to Sunday school. They won't dress them up and take them to Sunday school. But they'll take them out in the 10-night hours and through the day and they look like a vampire. Well, that's satanic. Okay, in the 11th chapter of Revelation, you will read where these two prophets had power enough to shut up the windows of heaven and it would rain for 3.5 years. That was Elijah.
Amen.
Then the other prophet had power enough to speak to the water and it turned to blood, speak to the dirt and it turned to life, speak to the frogs and frogs came out. The firstborn were killed. And the only two did that was Moses and Elijah. And go to the 17th chapter of St. John, I think that is, you will see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were in the midst of Jesus Christ. By him being in the midst of Jesus Christ, they were talking about the things pertaining to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So
that's right.
By that time, Revelation verifies exactly who these true prophets will be in the tribulation period. And the tribulation period will be the last part of the 3.5 years where these two men will stand at the temple site and preach all over Jerusalem. 3.5 years.
That's right. Amen.
42 months. Times and times and dividing times, because the time in the Bible represents 1 year, times represent 2 years, and half time represents 6 months. So you got 3.5 years. They will preach so devastating, they will cause it not to rain for 3.5 years. Plagues will fall upon the people. Judgment will fall, and the people will get so outdone with them that they won't be able to kill them until the end of the 3.5 years, because they're going to be repenting and telling them, sin, don't worship the beast. And the world's going to say, oh, we're getting tired of these crazy prophets. We want to get rid of them. So what they're going to do is going to be televised on TV, on your internet. Worldwide. They're going to see the bodies laying in the streets for 3.5 days. And they're going to rejoice and say, yes, we done got rid of them. But getting rid of them ain't going to do no good, because at the end of the 3.5 years, it says they life came back up to him, and the Lord received them up into the heaven.
Right.
So
raptured them into heaven. Amen.
Exactly the true prophets was, and I'm not refuting what you thought about, but I tried to give you some scripture to back up.
Amen.
Because not only Moses fulfilled his ministry, but Satan, this is what Satan wanted to do with Moses. He wanted to get Moses' body and use it to set up idolatry. Because Moses was such a great leader and a man of God, Satan says, if I can get inside his body, I can cause the people to worship me.
Amen.
And the Lord said, you say, no way, because that's why God buried Moses. Until this day, nobody knows you prayed that for God
body,
Almighty.
Amen. Ooh, that's a powerful word, brother. Hey,
that's a powerful word, man.
Amen. And you know what? And that's why I asked the question for clarification. Amen. So that we will know, amen, who the two prophets, because I know, amen, that by the Holy Spirit, the Most High has gifted and given you this knowledge and information to share with us, and that's why I brought you on the show, amen. I know that when I was talking the week before last, I was talking about that and how I was leaning towards Enoch and Elijah. Now, we know that Elijah, we know for a fact that Elijah is the one. He's one, but now that you have clarified, amen, and you are definitely spot on, because those plagues that they're going to rain down in Revelation are the same plagues, and you just clarified it, amen, that these two are the only two prophets, amen, that was able to commit or to perform these same plagues and these same miracles that's going to happen in the end time. Bro, that was so beautiful the way you broke down that word, amen, I thank you, because that's why I have you on here for clarification and to teach and to bring further knowledge and information about the end time events, because it's all about learning. And I tell people, I'm still learning. Amen. I have a lot of knowledge to gather up and still learn. Amen. So, amen. I thank you for that clarification. Amen. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to just interject. Amen. Talk about that. Amen. So, looking at the gathering together, the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
During this time, amen. And then the false prophet. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not the false prophet. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene.
Right.
Amen. He's gonna come on the scene. We know in the middle. Amen. Of the tribulation. At the beginning of the great tribulation, amen, he's going to go back on his agreement, amen, with the world. And so then he's going to declare himself, amen, the God of the world, or the ruler of the world, amen. And we know that he's going to be mortally wounded. And we know that during this time period, amen, we also going to have the 144,000, amen, on the earth of the Jews. They're going to be prophesizing, and they're going to be preaching the gospel, amen, to, amen. And so this is a great prophetic word. This needs to be preached, amen, in the churches. And I think what's more surprising to me is that most of your pastors, even when you talk to them, they don't even want to talk about this. Amen. They don't even want to touch it. But looking at the times that we're in, amen, we definitely see by the signs and the seasons that we are closer, amen, especially after this 2,000-year period, we're closer to the return of our Lord and Savior. So we definitely don't want to want to keep going, amen, brother. We don't want to let up on them because people will because a lot of people don't want to pick up the Bible. They don't want to study the Bible. They just want to, like you say, they just church going. And it's funny that you said that because I thought about that exact same thing today. I said the exact same thing. I said, you know what? The churchgoers are not going to make it into heaven. They just go in the church. They just going because it's the thing to do. They just going because maybe their spouse is going because they were raised in church. You have to be a believer. You have to know that you know. Amen. This is not something that you're going to accidentally fall into. You're not going to just accidentally fall into heaven. That's not how it works. You're not going to accidentally get in. Amen. You have to believe and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that you are saved, amen, and from that the Holy Spirit enters in, and you will begin to do his work, amen, and as you stated, brother, you said it best, amen, there are different levels, amen, there are babes in Christ, and there are some that are on strong meat, but if you just believe, that's why Christ always put, he said, after he performed the miracle, he said, but do you believe, because he know that if you just have faith in him, he know that the Holy Spirit is going to enter in, and thou shalt be saved. And in Christ said it best, amen, he said, all men will have to do in these last days, amen, during these times is just simply call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. And that's the key, just call on his name and truthfully mean it deep in your heart so that you can receive salvation before it is too late. Our job, amen, to preach the gospel, amen, is to preach his word, amen, the great commission of Christ, so that souls may say, we're not talking about the next big thing. We're not talking about how much money you can have in your bank account. That's not a concern for us, amen. We're talking about your soul being saved. Where are you going to rest for all eternity? We want you to be saved because we don't want nobody lost. We don't want nobody to go to hell. We don't want everybody to go to the lake of fire. We don't want nobody to be here during the great tribulation, but we know that there are going to be some that are going to be disobedient. But as many souls as we can touch, we want to touch tonight, and we want you to become saved and receive salvation, amen, before it is too late. Amen. So with that being said, amen, I have something else I want to touch on, amen. I think, amen, if you want to go back, I'll let you handle it the way you want to handle it tonight, brother. But that was pretty much my question.
I'm going to insert this in for you.
Go ahead.
I finished up last time, but I'm going to insert this in for you. This 7-year tribulation and peace treaty, I'm going to put that in, take me about 5 minutes. This peace treaty now is in the making. The peace treaty was in the making when President Trump came into office 2016. Mm-hmm. He said that he was going to reestablish Jerusalem as the capital. That was a great, unique biblical prophecy fulfilled. And if you don't know the Word of God, you haven't read the Word of God, you haven't prayed about it, you haven't searched the books. You can search the Britannica, you can search the Wikipedia, Cyclopedia. You'll find that when Trump made that offer, that turned me on. I said, oh, this man is something else. And a lot of people say, well, he ain't no good, but I'm going to show you something in the scripture. This 7-year tribulation, admittedly, the rapture will occur. It won't be no year for the Antichrist to come. It'll take about 14 days.
Well, amen. There you go.
2 weeks, because the Antichrist is here. If the Antichrist is here and the church is removed from the earth,
that's right,
Satan is going to step in, and he's going to be He's going to be real quick at it because the Bible says in Revelation 13, it says he saw a beast come up out of the earth, and he had paws like a bear, had paws like a bear, and a shape of a leopard and the shape of a lion. And it shows you that this year Antichrist is going to be swift, he's going to be vicious, and he's going to have great authority. And the world is in such shape now, they will receive anybody that comes on the scene that's false, because people believe a lie before they believe the truth.
That's right.
So when the rapture of the church is removed, God takes the Holy Spirit that's in the church. The Holy Spirit is still going to be here on earth, because he didn't renew the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit got a working to do through the Jews.
That's right.
So the church is going to be removed. Where's the Holy Ghost now? The Holy Ghost is in the church. Who's the church?
Right.
I am. You are. Millions of people are in the church by the new birth. So the Holy Ghost in you is going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and you will be removed from the planet. And then within 2 weeks, 14 days, the world got to come to its senses and say, oh, my God, something done happened. My mama gone, my daddy gone, my sister gone, all the people gone, the churches are empty. Nobody, there's car wrecks, plane wrecks, earthquakes, pestilence, diseases. So the world has to get itself together, and when the Antichrist comes, he's going to clap his hand and say, I got the answer. I am Jesus. And he's going to make a peace treaty with President Trump, set it off, brought Jerusalem back into to be the capital of Israel. When he did that, I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because they've been trying for the last 7 years. They've been trying to get a peace treaty on the board. They got it on the board. And it's going to take 2021 for it to be fulfilled, because President Trump is the only president that's capable enough to do it, because he started something. God started with him, and God's going to finish with him. All right. So this tribulation, he makes a peace treaty with the nations of the world and between the Palestinians and the Jews, that he will give them peace for what? 7 years. But he's lying.
Yep.
He comes on the scene. He says, I give y'all permission to build a temple. I give you permission to do all the old sacrificial offering. And the Jews are going to say, oh, yes, this is him. This is Jesus. And it's not Jesus. Because they believe that Jesus was not sufficient enough, amen, to save them. So they're going back after the animals. And Jesus Christ said, God said, if you prepare me a body, I'll go down and redeem man. I'll be the ultimate sacrifice. I'll be the one that can take man out of the world, out of your body, out of your soul and spirit. I'm the one that was crucified. The animals can't be crucified. No man can be crucified. No man can get up on his own power. Woo, Lord, have mercy.
Right.
No man can live his life and pick it up again without any kind of paraplegic or any kind of paramedics or any kind of respiration or any kind of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. When I come out the grave, I came out with all power in heaven and earth in my hand. And so the Jews are saying, that's not the one. We want the one that comes on and gives us permission to build a temple and gives us peace. So that will happen within 2 weeks. They will sign the peace treaty in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem is where the Antichrist is going to what? Be the king of Jerusalem falsely. Because the devil, the D-E-D-I-L, the devil wants Jerusalem. He wants temple. He wants to be like God. He wants to have all his attributes given from God to him, and he can't have it. He never will get it. He had a little bit of it, and he lost it. He won't get it back, so he got the world fooled, blinded, and believing that he is Jesus Christ. And that's what the people are waiting for, because actually God is going to give this world over to the devil for 7 years and let him do his foolish works. because he's going to give him the opportunity and give the people opportunity to choose you whom you're going to serve. Now you got an opportunity to come to Christ during the tribulation period because you have heard the gospel. And since you don't heard the gospel, you got a choice. Either you take the mark of the beast or you take the mark of the blood of Jesus Christ upon your soul and be saved. And the world said, give us the devil. Man, we love the whole monster.
Right.
We love adultery. This year, Antichrist ain't reproving sin nowhere. We love lying, cheating, and backbiting. We love to have a form of godliness and no power. We love to talk about people. We love to try to impress folks. That's Satan stuff. That's what he does in the church. And he's got the church so mixed up. Hey, man, people don't even know no blood songs no more. They don't sing blood songs no more.
That's
they
right.
They sing hip-hop and up and down and moving around and shouting and break dancing. Oh, we got, no, you ain't got nothing, man.
That's
what
right.
You know you're fooling. It ain't shouting. Salvation ain't just shouting. Salvation is living according
that's
to
it.
What God has called you to live, and that is
amen.
Love one another, amen, and tell somebody else about this Jesus. I ain't talking about your Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. I'm talking about the Jesus of the I am and the Eon. I'm talking about Jesus of the I am. Woo! And you know, the who knows and how knows. I'm talking about the Jesus that actually suffered and died on Calvary's cross. So the rapture occurs within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, the Antichrist will have the treaty signed, and the world
amen.
Will go into the tribulation period with peaceful talk. A lot of deception will go on during the first part, and he will say, I will protect the people, the Jewish people. I will give them the right to become and build their temple and go all to their sacrifice, and the Jews are going to be convinced by God that this is not the way that I did what I did for you on Calvary's cross. I'm going to prove to
that's
you
right.
that this man here is nothing but a liar, and he's a fallen angel, and he's damned for hell. And he's taking
that's
everybody
right.
he can and who he can. Preachers, deacons, choir members, whoever you are, that ain't got nothing to do
yeah.
with you. You can have all that formality. You can holler, scream, shout, turn upside down. That ain't going to do it. You got to have the blood of Jesus Christ wash your soul and destroy sin in your soul, because God will never, never tolerate sin in heaven. No sin will enter the kingdom of God. None.
Amen.
N-U-N or whatever you want to say, N-O-N-E, however you want to say, none. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ can take your sin and destroy it, and the devil knows it, and he hates the child of God. He hates the Jew. He hates anybody that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And really, you don't have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb for the devil to hate you. He just hates the human race. He
that's
don't
right.
like
he
the human race.
Right.
We're made in the image and likeness of God. He don't like black folks.
Amen.
He don't like white folks. He don't like Chinese. He don't like no. That's why the nations are divided, because the devil has weakened all nations. Why? Because he's in influx to try to destroy God's creation, and he can't do it. And the only way Satan can damn your soul, his only way, is that the soul that believeth not
that's
shall
right.
be damned. That's the only way. Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And when Christ saves you, he don't save you for 24 hours. He don't save you for 42 hours. He don't save you for 3 weeks and then say, oh, I can't take you. He saves you forever.
That's right. Amen.
So salvation comes by faith. You'll seal with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. I thank God for being who he is, Jesus Christ. Okay, brother.
Amen, brother. Great word. Amen. Amen. Really enjoying that word. Amen. We see in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which, again, that last 3.5 years, I just happen to call it the Great Tribulation, because in that last 3.5 years, amen, amen, that's right, because we know in that last 3.5 years, Christ is going to pour out his punishment. He's going to punish
right.
and judgments, amen. As you was talking about those prophets, amen. And you think about how the prophets, when you had mentioned that the prophet Elijah, how he calls it not to rain, and you think about those different,
exactly.
Amen. Those seals
exactly.
when they were broken open, amen. We think about
amen.
That and how there's going to be fire on the earth, amen. How he commanded those angels, he said, you know, that certain parts of the earth is going to be burned. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think about these things that are going to go on during this last 3.5 years. And, man, I tell people, you do not want to be here. I tell people all the time.
No,
and it's funny that we're teaching this lesson tonight because I keep hearing reports of people buying guns and bullets. I mean, people won't stop. Pawn shops, gun shops, stores can't keep bullets and guns stored up
exactly,
enough.
Exactly.
I tell people. And I think the most shocking thing to me is that you hear people in the church, even some pastors out here buying guns. I tell people, look, what's coming? Amen, brother. The Holy Spirit can protect you from any. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit to protect me than a gun or a bullet. Can't nothing prepare you for what's coming.
Me,
you
man.
Can stock up a warehouse full of food. You can have a army shed full of military. I don't armor. I don't care what you
man.
Have. What's about to happen? Amen, brother. Tell him you cannot. You can't prepare for this. You can stop.
No, okay.
The only thing that the church needs to prepare for is like Paul said: watch for Christ. Prepare. Get
yeah.
your soul ready. That's the only thing. People go out buying food, all this stuff. Don't get me wrong. I understand you want to buy some stuff just in case folks get crazy out here as far as food and things like that. I got some things stocked back, but I'm not out here trying to buy a whole warehouse. I'm not fixing to do that because I believe in Christ. He is my sufficient. If he'll take care of those animals and those birds out there, he'll definitely take care of me. And that's who I put my faith in. Amen. That's who I put my trust in. Amen. It's my God. Because you can't prepare for these things that are coming. And the Bible talks about that over in Revelation, the 6th chapter, when men will hide and run. There, you can't run and hide from Christ. It hides from the one that sits up on the throne. You can't hide from Christ, man. You can't hide. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. You cannot hide.
Everywhere.
These things that are, amen. That's right, brother. The things that's going to attack this world. And then there are things that John was told not to write. There are things that we don't even know that's going to go on.
And
he told John, he said, close it up. Right.
Not cutting you off, but there's seven thunders. Seven thunders. And John
right,
was told, don't write no more.
Don't write no more. Seven thunders.
So go ahead, bro. I just want to insert that in there for you.
I thank you for pointing it out because I remember teaching on that the other week, but I thank you so much for pointing it out. We don't even know what the seven thunders are going to, what that contains.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
My God. Amen.
And so the judgment of the sinful, prideful
man,
the wicked man, all these folks that are so prideful, to talk about there ain't no God. They don't want nothing to do with God. All their gay pride and folks with their wealth and riches, people who depend on their money and the whoremongers and the adulterers. Sinful people. Amen. They don't have no care in the world for people. All the kidnappers and killers. These folks have no concern for life. None.
No.
They don't care about you. They hate the church. They hate us that preach the gospel and that preach the truth and condemn their ways. He's going to judge this world and the great earthquake, which has never been before on this planet. Is going to happen. Amen. You can't prepare for what's coming. People think that they can get ready. Get ready for what? Ain't no need in you being secretive and sharing certain information with certain people. It don't matter anyway if you don't want to tell me. I don't care. I serve God. You don't have to share things with me. I serve God. I put my trust in the Heavenly Father.
because he's going to protect me, my wife, my children, my family. And Paul said it, but in the brother, amen, Elder Bazaar said it best, that the church is going to be out of here before this evil man, he says, on the earth right now, before this evil man comes on the scene, he said.
Yeah.
In fact, let me go over to Revelation, the third chapter. Let me read a chapter. One of my favorite, but before I read that, I want to read 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 10. It says, and to wait for his son from heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting for. We are waiting for Christ. I tell people, you should be looking for Christ. I'm not buying no books. I'm not stocking up on no meat and no tissue and no water and all. I'm looking for Christ. That's what you're supposed to be looking for. You will talk about buying masks and all this stuff. Look for Christ. He said, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, Yeshua, amen, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We are not going to be here when all this, that's our escape. Amen. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10.
Come on.
Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. Let me read what it says. Amen. Watch what it says.
Go ahead.
Revelation 3:10. This was the message, amen, to who? This was the message to the church of Philadelphia. Watch this. Because we are who, brother? Amen. Me and the brother minister, Elder Bazaar, we are part of this church, the church of brotherly love, because we love you. We don't want to see you lost. We don't want to see nobody in this tribulation. We don't want to see nobody go to hell. We definitely don't want to see nobody in the lake of fire. We don't want to see you lost. We love you. This is what the scripture says. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen. That's it. So we know that when it says that all the world, it says basically it's excluding me. It's excluding us, the church, from the wrath that is to come. It's not going to come upon us that believe. It's going to come upon those that are out here in the world who don't believe, and those in the church who are lukewarm, that don't really believe, but they just going to just the church, just going. But he said to try them. You can't prepare. This is just a small sample. Hey, man, you ever had a sample of a meal, brother, to give you a small taste? This is just a sample. This is nothing compared to what's going to come when the Antichrist come on the scene. And, amen, he's going to unleash so much evil things. These people think they love the devil, think they marking up the Bible with all these tattoos and talking about these devils and skeletons and 66.
Come on, man.
You think you're preparing yourself for this. And these folks out here, they don't even understand, brother, that they have been prepped. And I believe you said it before. When the Antichrist come on the scene, it's going to be like nothing. The world is going to accept him. They're going to love him because they've already been prepared. The world loves evil. They hate the truth. They don't want to hear us. They don't want to hear preaching. It's going to be like nothing when he come on the scene. And in that last 3.5 years, when he tell people to once Satan enter back into and tell people to take the mark of the beast, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You have sealed yourself. You are going to the lake of fire, the Bible says. You are going to the lake of fire if you accept that part of the beast. Just to buy food.
That's right.
Just to sell. Just to buy. Just to go to work. Just to continue to enjoy life. The Bible says that the lake of fire will be your home for all eternity.
Oh, my God. Please, whoever you are, come on in. Come on in.
Yes,
they tell me that the TV program comes on and says, the price is right. And they tell you, they call your name out. Come on down. And, buddy, when your name call out, you should see how people jump up and down, say, run it down through the aisle. And it says, come
on
down. The price is right. Well, I'll tell you something else. There's another. It ain't no game show. It's something real. Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He came all the way down here, got on his knees, suffered on Calvary's cross, went back to heaven, coming back again. And he's telling the world, come on down. Go where? Come on down at the foot of the cross. Come on now. Come on now. And when he calls your name, you ought to jump up and down and run.
That's right. Amen.
For your life. Run for the righteousness that Jesus Christ died and rose again and gave his, shed his blood on Calvary's cross, because there was no other blood in the ions or the eons or the beginning or the end. He's the first and the
Amen.
Last. His only God that had power enough to change a whoremonger into a preacher and turn a prostitute into a missionary. The only power
that's
able to tell a man to put down a wine bottle. The only power that tells a man to take care of his family. The only power that can give you joy, peace, full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. The only power that will last forever and ever and ever and ever.
Amen.
And people say, well, I don't want that power. I want the power I can control. And that's what the world is doing. But I want to
get
this shit to you. There's three men in human history that will stand forever. The first man is called King Cyrus. He was the king of Persia.
Mm-hmm.
And the second man was President Harry S. Truman. And the third man was President Donald J. Trump. Now, you say, well, people say, well, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about three men that took part in Bible prophecy, exactly what the Bible said that would happen to the Jewish people. We got other prophets that prophesied, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Malachi, Nahum. We got those men, but in this modern time in history, three men that stood for Israel and defended Israel was King Cyrus and Antiochus and President Harry S. Truman and President Donald J. Trump. Now, understand what I'm saying. Cyrus was the king of Persia that when the Jews had fulfilled their 70 years of captivity,
Amen.
King Cyrus gave the nations of the world, because he was the most powerful kingdom at that time, he told the Jewish people, I'm going to give you a petition to go back from your exile into Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and the streets of Jerusalem.
Amen, that's right.
And he gave them a petition. When he gave them the petition, Nehemiah picked up the hammer and the saw and the level and went back to Jerusalem and started on rebuilding Jerusalem, because they were preparing for the first coming of Jesus Christ, and the temple had to be built. Jerusalem had to be restored. Everything had to be in place when Jesus Christ came riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. That was the fulfillment of what King Cyrus gave the Jews to get back on to Jerusalem. When they got back into Jerusalem, here comes Nehemiah. Nehemiah start rebuilding. And then after that, old Sanballat came in. They're talking about, oh, y'all all feeble Jews. What are y'all doing? Y'all ain't going to build you ain't building no temple. I ain't going to let you build it. And Nehemiah said, now listen, if the people have a mind willing to work, we are going to build Jerusalem and build this temple. And Nehemiah told him, I'm going to build it whatever the price may cost.
Amen.
And at the same time, Esther came along. When Esther came along, Haman came along. When Haman came along, he said, look, I'm going to get rid of these Jews. I'm going to kill every one of them. I'm going to fix up some gallows. I'm going to take these gallows and string these Jews up and kill everyone in 120 provinces. And Esther and Mordecai got a hold of what he's getting ready to do. And Esther says, look, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to get rid of Haman, because Haman hated the Jews because they were Palestinians. And by them being Palestinians, Haman said, I'm going to hang them all. to make a long story short, after they tripped on him and fooled him and bring him to a banquet, and Esther told all that Haman had done, and Haman said, well, who is that? And he looked at the king, and Esther said, there's the man right there. And when the king got a hold of it, he said, oh, so you're the one plotting all this. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you, your wife, your 10 sons, and take them out on the gallows and hang every one of them.
Wow.
Now, the reason I brought that in there is because anybody that speaks against the Jewish people and go anti-Semitic against the Jewish nation, there's going to be a curse brought up on them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a curse on Hitler. There was a curse on Mussolini. There was a curse on Napoleon because they refused to let the Jews have their right to become a nation and be and bless the other nation until Cyrus said, let them go. And King Antiochus said, let them go. And when they let them go, they went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the city, rebuilt the temple until the first coming of Jesus Christ. So Cyrus, in the eyesight of God, was a heathen king, but God used a heathen king to set the people free. Woo!
Amen.
Here goes President Truman. In 1948,
amen,
President Truman wrote a declaration, and he said, now is the time for the Jewish nation to be recognized as becoming a nation for the first time over 2,600 years. I'm going to write a declaration and tell all other nations, don't touch them. Don't bother. Let them be restored in their land. And where did President Truman get all his information? He got all that information from the Word of God through his mother. His mother taught him, look, whatever you do, bless you. Whatever you say, don't speak harsh against them, because they have been through some trials and tribulations, and God is using them to bring the gospel into the world in the last 7 years.
Amen.
That the whole world needs the gospel at one time. And so President Truman was blessed. And by him being blessed, America was blessed. The only reason America is blessed and they want to be blessed more, America will have to repent first, and they're going to have to support the Jewish nation. Because when you speak harsh against the Jew, God said, curse him. Whoever blesses him, bless him. And the world today, some church folks believe that God is through with the Jew. God is not through with the Jew. You better sit down and talk to Ezekiel. You better go to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel and talk to him and tell him, what are those valleys? What are those dry bones? Who are they? He said, that's the whole house of Israel, and they're going to be restored. From 1948 to 2016, here comes President Trump. President Trump says, Jerusalem will become the capital of Israel. Jerusalem will take part in the Gaza Strip. Jerusalem is going to be reestablished by the peace treaty that I'm planning to go with Netanyahu. Netanyahu is going to go with President Trump to restore the peace treaty, which will be a false peace treaty, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, because of God using President Trump to bring Jerusalem and let the world, let America know, let the heathens know that these people are God's chosen people, don't bother. Let them get their land. Let them restore the capital of Jerusalem, because what I'm doing, I'm setting up Jerusalem, because when I come back, I'm going to rule with a rod of iron during the millennium reign, and I'm going to sit on the throne and judge the nation. President Trump is doing exactly what God has told him to do, although he may not know exactly what he's doing, but God has put a spirit in him to show him, I'm coming back. And the world is saying, I don't want no Trump. Get Trump out of there. He's crazy. He's doing things I ain't never seen done. That's right, because God is saying, I'm tired of y'all. I want a man in there going to tell the truth. I'm on a man in there that calls him as he sees him. And that's what Trump is doing. He's calling and he's seeing him. And the world is saying, no, no. And guess what? Most people don't like a Trump. Most people don't like a Trump. If you don't believe, talk to Jericho people. Jericho people, what's going to say? They say, oh, I'm going to fall until they heard about this trumpet that they blow. And they blow it seven times. Seven times, and blow it seven times, and guess what? Jericho failed. Why? Because Jericho was an anti-Semitic. They didn't want the Jews. And don't I pray that God touch America and don't let them come anti-Semitic. Because if they come anti-Semitic and go against the Jewish people, America is going down because they won't repent and they won't support the Jews. And the church folks, the preachers, are not telling the folks, Jews
That's
are
right.
God's anointed ones. Jews, although
That's
right. they're walking in underneath, God's going to prove to them that they're my people. Because he told them in the Old Testament, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to promise you exactly what I told the prophet. And guess what? He's doing it. So what I'm saying, everybody want to know who's going to win. Who's going to win? I'm not going to get on too much politics. Now, who's going to win? Is Biden going to win? Well, Biden don't know nothing about Bible prophecy. At least Trump knows something about it because he has spoken about it. He knows
Amen.
That the Jews is God's chosen people. He knows that. And if he knows it, God is going to let him perform it exactly because he's the one that's going to bring this peace treaty in with Notanu. And when he brings it in with Notanu, that's a sign because they already got, about 8 or 9 nations in already. And in 2021, there's more nations going to join. When they start joining, that's giving you a sign. That's giving you an even sign. Look, man, they're getting ready for the treaty. They're getting ready for the temple. They're getting ready for the altar, the sacrifices.
Wow.
So what I'm saying, in these days, we're last men. I'm going to read this, brother, and I'm going to give it back to you. This is where. In the 45th chapter of Isaiah, I'm just going to read this up 4 or 5 chapters. It says, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Cyrus what? Anointed. Whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations. So Cyrus had control of all the nations on the planet. Nobody was higher than he was. He said, I have holden you to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the lines of the kings to open before him the two leaves gate, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bar. In other words, he's going to break down everything that hinders the Jews from going back to the land of Israel. I'm going to straighten it out. I give you the power to sign that petition to straighten this out because I'm going to get ready to come. He said, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, thou that mayest know that I am the Lord. Call thee by my name. I am the God of Israel. This is what he says, forsake. And Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee. Though thou hast not known me. Israel, they know God, my God. Cyrus didn't know the Lord God. But God said, I'm still going to use you on your right hand. He said, I am the Lord, and there's none else. There's no God beside me. I girt thee through thou hast not known me. Cyrus didn't know. He said that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west, and there's none else beside me. I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil, I do all these things. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me God used Cyrus to get the Jews back to Israel? And then President Truman came along and signed the declaration that Israel has been a nation for what? 70 years. There go that 70 years. The nation of Israel has been restored. Jesus Christ cannot come back until Israel is back in their land. They're back in their land. They're getting ready to build a temple, y'all. Come on, man. Listen to me. They're getting ready, not a church. They're getting ready to build a temple for the worship of the Lord God, Old Testament rituals. But that's no good. That's all done with. God is going to permit them. And then we got President Trump, 2016, said, I'm going to bring Jerusalem embassy back into Jerusalem and let the world know Jerusalem is the capital of Israel.
That's right.
Being the capital of Israel, it's going to become the capital of the world during the millennium reign. But first, I've got to reduce the population of the earth for those that have rejected me and rebelled against me and cursed me during the tribulation, one-third of the population be killed in different places by plagues and pestilence.
Lord have mercy.
People have rebelled against God, and God has given his only son 2,000 years ago, and people spitting at it. People stomping over it. People making fun of it. People thinking there ain't nothing to it. Pastor Paul
That's
said,
right.
Preaching of the cross to those that perish is foolishness. It's foolish to the Hollywood movie star. It's foolish
That's
to some
right.
football player. It's foolish to the postman. It's foolish to the rich. It's foolish to the poor, because everybody's trying to gain the world. Everybody's trying to get civil rights. But
That's
let
right.
me tell you, I ain't gonna never have civil rights here, but I have a right to
That's
the
right.
civil life. Woo! Nobody will hinder me. Nobody will complain about me. I won't have to go to the I won't have to go to the backyard temple, because in heaven there ain't gonna be no big eyes and little you. There ain't gonna be no NAACP. There ain't
right.
gonna be no Illuminati. There ain't gonna be no Satanism. There ain't gonna be no beings
right.
of the devil. Hey, the holy city would be so pure that no man can walk up on the highway of holiness unless they've been born again. And I don't mean
Amen.
Your own birth. I don't mean your own way. I mean going down to the foot of the cross and admit that you're a low down, rotten, dirty sinner. And people don't want to do that. I used
Amen.
To be a low down, rotten sinner. I was without
right.
Jesus Christ in my life. And the worst name you can call me is a sinner. The word nigger don't bother me. They don't bother me.
Amen.
But the word say you're a sinner, guess what? Sinners go to hell.
That's right.
They
Amen.
Call me
nigger, That's right.
And I didn't go to heaven because that name don't bother me. But I got a name that's above every name.
That's
you
right.
Call me
Amen.
But don't call me late for dinner. And I'm getting ready to go to dinner. I'm going to the bed. I'm going to sit around the table and see Jesus
That's right.
Christ. I'm going to sit there at the prophet. I'm going to see my Amen. Loved one. I'm going to see what I've done while I was on this earth for 76 years. I'm going to see if I preached the gospel. I'm going to see I did what God told me to do. And he said, if you be faithful until the end, I'll give you a reward. And then he's going to say, those that have been faithful, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a small matter, but I'm going to bet you'll be a rewarder of a whole inheritance. My God, what do people want? Don't you know the
That's
Bible?
Right.
Don't you read the Bible? If you read it in there, God got something for you that you ain't never seen, never heard,
Amen.
Never entered to your heart. For those that love him, brother, and I know you love him, brother. I know you love
him. Amen.
Oh, shut up.
Amen. I know you love him too, brother. Amen. Amen. Brother, that's an
Amen.
Awesome word. Amen. Amen. Elder Minister Elder Bizarre, thank you so much, brother, for coming on tonight and sharing and shedding some new light, amen, on the word. Amen. The word was broke down beautifully. I love the way that you came out and talked about the two prophets, amen. And you even went to how Enoch was not part of the nation. The nation of Israel wasn't existed at that time when he was on the scene. Before the flood, and that the two prophets, we know that prophets came out of Israel. Amen. I love the way
yeah.
that you wrote that word down. Amen. I love the way that you talked about the Antichrist, also Trump and how the treaty, the peace treaty is coming into effect. Amen. Awesome word. Amen.
Amen.
And we definitely can see if we can do this again, maybe something like once a month. I don't know how often we could do this, but it is definitely needed because
– Let me tell you something, brother. Whenever
Amen.
You want to do it on a Saturday or whatever week of days of the week that you can do it, give me a couple of days ahead of time, and brother,
yes,
I'll make divine appointment, a divine appointment.
Amen.
Come on, I love to be with you because you're the first preacher.
Amen.
First preacher that I've met in my whole life of preaching
wow.
55 years. That when I met you, I took on to you just like honey on a rock.
Amen.
Because you got the same concept of the word of God. Not what I think, but you got the same concept of the word
That's
of God. that match up with me. And I was saying a long time ago, Lord, I can't find no preachers that really want to hear Revelation. They want to stay with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is good. But Mark, Luke, and John is gone. Amen. They getting ready to come back. And I want to tell them, hey, Jesus Christ is coming back. And so I wish the Lord would bless you beyond this. Because it's a pleasure to share this with you in these last meal days. And I'm going to close with this here, and then you can have the rest of the way. Because I believe that 90 minutes is good enough to cover. All right?
Amen.
Well, if you want to come on next time, we'll get this here seven straight now. I'm going to show you a couple of sevens in the Bible. The name seven, the number seven is mentioned in the whole Bible. Seven alone is mentioned 735 times. Seven. It shows completeness. All right?
Okay.
The number 70 is mentioned in the Bible 10 times. 70 nations, 70 members of the Jacob's family, 70 elders, 70 faces of Torah, 70 years of exile, 70 years of holy days, 70 divine names, 70 names of the Jewish nation, and 70 4 years of a man's personal life. If you live 70 years, that's what God grants you. If you live beyond that,
amen.
But if you live 70, you can consider yourself a full-grown, mature elder if you're saved.
Amen. I like that.
70 is a number of completeness. I'm going to shut up right now. I was born on November 7th.
Amen.
I was called a preach at 21, 3/7.
Woo. That's a blessing.
I was the third son in the family.
Wow. Amen.
So I seem like I'm a marked man, but I thank God for it. I thank God. And let me tell you something. You're a marked man too. God got you marked. God got you on his
list. Amen. I receive it.
Whenever you get ready, you call me up or call Brother Derek up. Shoot, I'll stop whatever I'm doing because man, it's late. It's late, dog.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
It's late and the sun is going down.
Folks, that's right.
People ain't hearing this on. You can hear it on TV a little bit, but preachers, local churches, preachers ain't even touching it.
They not. Amen. They not.
They're not touching it. And the folks are just lukewarm. Well, we don't know what hour they're coming in, but we know we're trying to be ready to go, and we're trying to be ready. You better get your soul right to God.
You better get ready. Amen. That's right. That's right.
You better be ready.
That's right.
Because this is no planned thing, because every so-called prophet is going to stand before God, and God will say, what did you preach?
That's right.
Amen. What did you preach? You preach prosperity? No, that ain't going to work. You preach fame and glory? No, that ain't going to work. You preach whatever you preach. If you didn't preach saved Jesus, him crucified, died, and rose again,
right.
Coming back to get a blameless church, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and the love of God, witnessing, telling folks about the love of God, and ain't ashamed of
it.
And if I had to die for it, I'll die for it.
That's right, amen.
Because I ain't backing up. I don't have no reverse gear. All forward. God bless you, brother. You go ahead.
Amen.
You finish it up.
Amen. Well, thank you once again, brother, for coming on. I love you. Amen. We just have about a minute left, so I'm going to say a quick word. I thank everyone for listening. We thank Derek Oliver and his team for this opportunity, brother. We will definitely do this again. Like you say, we're going to have to find some way, amen, and we'll be talking soon to see what we can do because this message, is highly important. And I pray that leadership, amen, is listening. Those who are preaching in the word, this is the message to preach. Salvation and the doctrine of end things. And the things to come. So, brother, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and close it down because we only got a few seconds left. I don't want to get cut off the air, but I thank everybody. I love you, brother. Thank you so much. I'm going to be in touch with you.
Amen.
I got you. And I thank, like I say, once again, the Chaos team and Derek, and we thank everyone for listening. You all have a wonderful night. Brother, thank you. I love you. Thank you for your wisdom and knowledge. Amen.
And I look at you as a mentor. Amen. And you all have a
all
good
right.
night, brother. I'll be talking to you soon. Everyone, good night.
All right.
I love you. Amen.
Love you too. All
Thank
right.
you, brother. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, brother. Amen.
We thank each other, brother.
Amen.
Amen.